Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go!
Welcome in, everybody, to Gramlich and McLean. Happy Friday. We're so excited to be with you today talking some football. We can't wait to get into these games and break them down. Mac, how are you doing, my friend?
I am just living the dream, Kelly. It's Friday. We've got some really good ACC football games this weekend. And one game that's not in the ACC that I'm really excited for, BYU versus my Coastal Carolina Chance. I cannot wait to watch that game.
They might as well be in the ACC, Mac.
Exactly. Come on in. We'd love to have you as long as you still are good. And then when you stink, you're out.
That's the thing about all these schools. We've talked about this with Liberty. You can have a great year, but it's really the consistency. But point being, Coastal looks great. BYU looks great. I can't wait for that game. I cannot wait. Mac, as I was driving home today, and we were getting ready to record the pod, I was listening to my new Christmas music playlist, which I put together.
Do you want to give a shout out? Tell people where to follow, where to subscribe to the playlist?
Not really. You don't have to follow me. I'm just saying, it's great. It's full of bops. It's full of hits. And I have some of your traditional songs, of course, and then some more newer ones and just a good mix. So as I was driving down the road, just belting out Christmas songs, you just imagine this visual because it's exactly what you've imagined. I was wondering, what are Eric McLean's favorite Christmas songs?
I'll hit you with one classic and maybe one like newer, like fun, you know, type thing. So number one to me, and this is like, it's like all my stuff. My number ones are pretty far away from everything else, right? When I talked about Thanksgiving food, now with Christmas songs, number one has some significant cushion behind it. But for me, it's The Most Wonderful Time of the Year by Annie Williams. I mean, absolute classic. Everybody knows the words. We can all sing along as loud as we want. And it's a great song. Gets you in a good mood. Number two for me, and again, this is more of an up-to-date type song, but it is an older song, but new artist. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, Michael Bublé. And I, honestly, his entire album could check off like 2 through 10 just because he's that good of an artist and all his songs are fantastic. But those are kind of my two that if you look at the Spotify, this is what you've listened to the most in 2020. If it was Christmas, those would be number two and or number one and number two, pretty significant numbers.
Bublé is the GOAT. Like Bublé, Quark said this the other day, my radio co-host. He said Bublé is our generation's Sinatra.
Yeah.
And I would totally believe it.
They sound very similar. And I think that's why he kind of got more just the fame because people related those two together and he just blew up. So what about your two favorite though? I got to hear this.
Okay. This is a little random. This is pretty random.
Man. Guys, we boo her off the stage for Thanksgiving food. Now we're about to boo her off for Christmas music. Here we go.
I'm following trends too. All of my favorite things are random. And you have like a solid number one and everyone's like, yes, Mac, that's so true. And then they're like, Kelly, what are you talking about? Okay. My two favorite Christmas songs. Number one, this is more of a traditional, more Jesus Christmas song, but not too much. Little Drummer Boy.
That's a good one. That's a fun one.
Gosh, I love that song. And it just gets
who's
me into
singing
Christmas.
It though? Wait, who's
spirit?
The artist okay. singing it?
Well, I'm not super picky, but the one that I've been listening to this year that I've become obsessed with is the one off of Carrie Underwood's Christmas album that just came out.
Fantastic. Yes.
Have you heard her Little Drummer Boy?
It's great.
Her son sings the second part.
I didn't realize that.
He's like 5 years old and he has a great voice. And so he's singing the part of the actual Little Drummer Boy. It's excellent.
It's good to know that, you know, her son has more talent in his pinky than I have in my whole body.
Oh, no
so
doubt.
That's cool.
He's Carrie Underwood's son. Like, if he couldn't sing, I would go back to the hospital and say, this one isn't
mine.
Yeah,
that's the wrong one.
You made a mistake. And then my other favorite one, again, random, but I love it. Stevie Wonder, What Christmas Means to Me.
Okay.
Do you know that one?
I've heard it. I don't know if it's a top two. That's an interesting list. So you're actually, guys, Kelly was telling you 9 and 10. I told you 1 and 2. She told you 9 and 10. You guys fill in the blank in the reviews and let us know where we get to in our top 10.
If you don't know that Stevie Wonder song, go look it up. You'll be bopping in 2 seconds and you will love it. And you'll be in the Christmas spirit.
I'm not mad at it.
I just like how we stick very much with the themes. Yours make a lot of sense. Mine are weird. Let's talk about the college football playoff rankings, Mac, before we get into our big three breakdown brought to you by Sunshine Beverages. Number 2, Notre Dame. Number 3, Clemson. Number 10, Miami. Number 17, North Carolina. North Carolina lost and went up 2 spots. What do you make of that, Mac?
They lost by like 14 points, right? Like more than that. I think it was 31-17. So very interesting. Very, very interesting. And there's a lot of movement on this thing, right? Like Iowa State goes up 4. Oklahoma State goes up 8. Like, come on. Iowa up 5. And then Carolina to go up 2 after a loss. The only 6-3 team ranked. I'm not mad about it because I do think they are the best 6-3 team. Like 3 loss team, I think they're the best. I think the committee looks at their offense and just sees how much firepower those guys have. And I'm not mad at it. You know, maybe 17 is a little bit high, but I think that those guys, you know, deserve to be ranked. And again, when you see the teams behind them, you see the teams who people have played, the full schedule, it makes a little bit of sense. The one that is still interesting to me is Miami. And the fact that Iowa State jumped them with a win over your Texas Longhorns, like, woo, Texas.
A win that, by the way, Texas gave away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gave that game away.
100%. And I don't understand that. Maybe the committee wants the Big 12 to be competitive, I guess. That's why we're seeing these massive jumps from Oklahoma State and Iowa State. But it's just like, I mean, they're not in. I mean, no Big 12 team is in. They all have 2 losses. There's no shot of that happening unless just total chaos happens these last 2 or 3 weeks. So it's interesting to see. I think common sense, though, there. Notre Dame, Clemson, number 2, number 3, that's about where you are. And people are looking at Ohio State. Let me propose this question, everybody listening. If it was a 8-team playoff, is Ohio State ranked 4 right now? There's no shot.
No.
There's no chance. The committee has them at 4 because they don't want to leave them out. But there's no way if it was a bigger field that those guys are ranked number 4. Their wins are terrible. The Indiana win, I get it, but the way you did it was horrible. Your defense looked so bad, and the offense gave the ball over 3 times. It should have been a loss. I mean, if you play a great team, if you play any of these other teams in the top 6, and you turn the ball over 3 times the way you did, you're not winning the game. So it's interesting to see this whole thing. It's going to be more interesting, Kelly, on December 20th when we have an episode on Monday, where we break it all down and say, look, this is where we are. These are the teams going in, because I really think we're going to get 2 ACC teams.
I think it's such a possibility. And one thing that I've learned from the committee this year, when you look at North Carolina, for example, or even you look at Georgia, 2-loss Georgia that's ranked very highly, the committee wants to put a lot of stock in a very good loss. They seem to, you're rewarded for a very good loss. That's what happened with North Carolina.
Right.
So I'm just going to put this out
and
here,
and you
could
say same for Clemson, too.
Yes, and that's where I'm going with this. I'm going to put this out here, and we'll talk about it more next week as we get closer to the Notre Dame, possible Notre Dame-Clemson game. I think it's possible if Clemson beats Notre Dame significantly, 14, 17, 21 points, that they are number 1 in the final playoff rankings.
Wow.
Even if Bama's undefeated, it takes 2 to tango. If they don't look super impressive versus Florida, if they give up a lot of points, which I think is possible. And the other part of this, Mac, but they don't want to put Notre Dame and Clemson 2 and 3. Because if you're going to get a third game, they want that to be the national championship game.
No doubt. And you know what? Yeah, I think that does make sense, because you look at the team and essentially what you would do with that Clemson loss, if I'm following you correctly, is you're saying that wasn't Clemson's team. They were missing so many people.
Right, exactly. And you bring in the COVID factor, yes.
Right, and this team with all those guys is the number 1 team in the country. And you know, I think if they would do, you know, what you're talking about, go undefeated the rest of the season and beat Notre Dame in the championship, that's what you could very clearly argue. So I don't think that's too far-fetched. Now, would it blow people's minds, and would it get a ton of people chirping and very upset? Sure. But I think I'm right there with you. And like you said, even if Notre Dame does get blown out by Clemson, the committee has shown this year, and really only this year, other years, I think it has mattered a lot. Blowout losses don't really matter this year.
A&M.
Yeah, A&M, Georgia, two of them. Georgia has lost by a combined near 40 points, and they're number 8 in the country. Are you kidding me? So I think that's kind of what the committee is saying, and it's going to, I can't wait to see this Final Four. It's going to be very interesting.
Here's the other part. One more thing, and then we're going to break down these games, we promise. Alabama and A&M have already played. So wouldn't they prefer to see, let's just say A&M gets in, they go undefeated, Florida gets blown out or whatever, they get in. Wouldn't you, if you're the committee and you're TV people, wouldn't you rather see Clemson, A&M, Notre Dame, Bama?
Exactly.
And then get the final?
Exactly. So if that would low-key be a little bit of my dream, to see kind of a ACC-SEC
challenge. That sounds like
challenge.
So much fun. Yes.
It does.
Everybody else,
thanks for coming, but you know, we're going to play big boy football and, you know, go play for a championship.
Well, also, we're the ones that have played full seasons, besides
that's
the Big 12,
right.
But everyone has two losses.
Sorry, Big 12.
Sorry, Big 12.
You're so good, you canceled each other out. Think about it that way. Shining light.
Okay, it's time for our Big 3 breakdown, brought to you by Sunshine Beverages, who we'll tell you more about later on in the pod. But the first game here, number 3 Clemson at Virginia Tech. This is a 7:30 p.m. game on ABC. Clemson is a 22-point favorite. Mac, I've looked ahead to the forecast for this game on Saturday night.
Bring your jacket.
It is going to be freezing. 32 degrees, I believe, is what I've seen at kickoff, and then probably going to get colder. But, you know, this is a Hokies team that is reeling right now. They got off to a great start, and then they've lost 4 of their last 5. They're really struggling. So we'll start with Virginia Tech, Mac. Is there any chance for you that Virginia Tech can stick in this game, possibly pull an upset? What do you make of Tech's chances?
Yeah, well, if I'm Virginia Tech, I think you get back to really your basics and go back to that big, nasty offensive line that you have, rely on those guys, and say, let's go do it. Let's use our great running backs. Let's use our quarterback who's super mobile, that can move around and create some interesting matchups and problems for a defense. Let's go to that heavy. But then if Clemson shuts it down, or if they limit your running attack, can Hendon Hooker create with his arm? That'll be the biggest thing for me. And do you trust him enough to throw the ball 30 plus times a game? Because that's only happened a couple of times in his career. So it's like, what is your answer when the run is not there? Because we know Clemson's going to sell out to stop that. That's just kind of who they are, what they do, and do it extremely well. But can you answer? Is there anything? We talk about balance so many times, and we've talked about with Virginia Tech, when they run into one of these great teams and they don't have that balance, you lose games. And we've seen that now 4 out of the last 5 games, Virginia Tech has lost. So it's going to be interesting, Kelly, to see, are they coming out? Are they motivated? I think we've talked about this a couple of different times. Do they want to play? Because I think even if you're at the worst possible spot and you've got guys out there just playing for themselves, you as that individual want to go out and ball against Clemson. That's the tape that NFL guys are going to want to see. If you're thinking about transferring, this can be your highlight tape to go somewhere else. So I think that we're going to see great effort and motivation defensively for Virginia Tech. Just do what you do best. Get after the quarterback, bring pressure, get after Trevor Lawrence, confuse him, try to bring him down. Because this, again, is not a great Clemson offensive line. This isn't the best one they've ever had. That these guys are struggling a little bit. And we saw Pitt able to take advantage of that. So defensively for Virginia Tech, I think that's what they have to try to do, is just get after Trevor.
How would you compare this Tech O-line to, let's say, Notre Dame's? You've been very high on Virginia Tech's O-line. Would you argue it's the second best O-line that Clemson's maybe faced all year?
Yeah, when healthy, no doubt about it. These guys are maybe even 1A, 1B. They're just good at different things, right? I think that you look at big Christian Darrisaw at left tackle for Virginia Tech. I know he didn't play the last time Virginia Tech was there. I haven't seen anything if he is going to play or not this game. But, he's going to be potentially a first-round draft pick or a guy that has played his way into the second round just because of how special he is, how athletic. But all those guys up front, they are a great offensive line. They take pride in finishing guys. They play past the whistle, through the whistle, not illegally, but just through the whistle, and really do a great job. So I'm excited to see that matchup. It looks like Clemson D-line is finally healthy enough to be kind of who they were at the beginning of the season. So it should be a great matchup. Virginia Tech O-line, Clemson, pass rush, because it's more than just the D-line, right? It's a lot of stuff coming at you.
No doubt. What is different about playing in 30-degree weather? Like, what changes specifically for the offense? Because you're handling the ball. Yeah, so what are the main differences there?
So number one, you think of the, let's go from the ground up. You think of the ground. It's tough. It's hard. Ugh. It's cold. I mean, your cleats don't stick the way same way. It can be a little slippery, hard to get your footing. So from there, falling on that doesn't feel good. Hitting the ground, that hard ground does not feel good. And then just the overall cold. I mean, you think of hands, fingers, toes, all those things that get hit. Cold is no fun. And then, of course, guys are wearing sleeves, so the ball can become more slippery. Quarterbacks, it's different. The air in the ball. So there are a lot of things that come into it. I sound like such a big baby. But all these things.
No, this is interesting to me.
Yeah, it matters, and it plays a big part of it. So weather certainly can be a factor. If it rains or snows at all, I mean, this is what Virginia Tech wanted. This is, I think, when they saw them on their schedule in December, they're like, okay, we're going to have the elements with us. Good luck beating both. So it for sure can play a big part in the game, Kelly.
Something to keep an eye on for sure. I told you about the time I went to Blacksburg for basketball and it was 8 degrees.
Right.
So
more snow than you've ever seen.
30 is nice.
Right.
Maybe.
Exactly.
Okay, let's do a fill in the blank Friday with Virginia Tech here. Virginia Tech is a 22-point dog. That line actually looks kind of low. I think I would take Clemson to cover that. But Virginia Tech can win the game if.
Yeah, Virginia Tech can win the game if they can get that run game going. You know, if they are not one-dimensional, or if they are one-dimensional, if it's good, if they can move the ball running and not get just clogged up by this Clemson defense. Because, again, this is when you look at Clemson's defense, this game specifically, I expect them to really have a dominant day. You look at what they're able to do in the past against these running teams. If they can contain Hendon, if they can stop Hendon, I mean, it's going to be a long night for the Hokies. And it's going to be interesting to see. You know, we didn't talk about Clemson on offense too much, but when you look at them a week ago, they came out angry and looked like a team that wanted to put people on notice and to really make a statement. Now, that was against one of the best defenses in the ACC. You look at this week against a very dysfunctional defense that's giving up over 460 yards a game. I mean, Clemson might light these guys up. So it's going to be interesting to see. The biggest thing that I'm interested to see from Clemson's perspective, we just mentioned a little bit, the run blocking and the pass blocking of the offensive line. We saw what, you know, Clemson gave up a week ago to Pitt, you know, getting after Trevor, had a couple of tackles for loss there. In the run game, Travis Etienne, one of the best players in the country, has only had two 100-plus yard rushing games. Now, there's a lot of different reasons for that, but I think if your offensive line can establish and reestablish, you know, that line of scrimmage, he certainly has a better chance to do so.
That's a crazy stat. He's had some 100-yard receiving games, but
exactly, rushing, which is wild.
Crazy. I miss Virginia Tech being good. I miss that.
And Florida State. And, you know, we just need everybody to collectively take some steps forward.
Hopefully soon with Virginia Tech, though. Okay. The next game in our big three, Georgia Tech at NC State. This is a 4 o'clock game on ACC Network. NC State is only a 7-point favorite. I find that very interesting. We know that the NC State's coming off that crazy win. They were so lucky to win that game at Syracuse. I mean, they were up when the clocking of the ball happened, but still, they were down for most of the game. And NC State's looking for their 7th ACC win, which would be record, Mac. So what does NC State need to do in this one?
Yeah, you know, they just have to keep finding a way to win. You know, when you look at this team and it's really, I mean, this is one of the craziest stats I've ever seen. And I like numbers. I trust what I see with my eyes, but I do enjoy analytics and numbers and stats and just seeing who a football team is. So this NC State team, they are 7-3. But when you look at their averages, they are giving up 31 points a game. They are scoring 31 points a game.
That's insane.
It's crazy. And then look at this yard differential. They're giving up on defense 420 yards. On offense, they're only gaining 390. So they could very easily be 3-7 right now. It's just, it speaks about the coaching staff for the players. They're so resilient. They find ways to win. And I say this every week. I know y'all are so tired of hearing it. They win different ways every week. You cannot look at game one through 10 and say, oh yeah, these look just alike, because they do not. They're all very, very different. And I don't expect anything differently here. I mean, you look defensively, Peyton Wilson, Isaiah Moore, these guys are going to have to step up. Now, those are like 1 and 4 tacklers in the ACC. Peyton Wilson leads the conference. They're going to have to play unbelievably well, because when you look at Georgia Tech and you look at Sims and you look at Gibbs, those two true freshmen in the backfield can create, extend plays, and make things happen. Peyton and Isaiah are going to have to shut that down for NC State to win. On the other side, looking at Georgia Tech, if you limit your turnovers, Kelly, you're going to win this football game. Yeah, it is. It's a huge if. But, I mean, you're coming off a lot of momentum last week, beating Duke the way you did, scoring 50-plus points. You've got to be feeling good, because you hadn't played a game in so long. And then for you to come out and drop a 50-piece McNugget on those guys, you've got to be feeling really good. So just don't turn the ball over, control the ball, and you can win this football game.
So in Mac's world, it's not a 50-burger, it's a 50-piece McNugget.
It's a 50-piece McNugget. Come on.
Good to know. Good to know. As you mentioned, the main thing with Tech, you got to limit those turnovers. So as Tech is the underdog here, Georgia Tech, fill in the blank Friday, Georgia Tech can win the game if...
Georgia Tech can win the game if they only turn it over twice, which is crazy to say, but if you turn it over 6 times, there's no chance. 2, I'll let you get away with, but you have to protect that ball. Sims, hold on to it with 2 hands. I don't want to see you looking cute with 1. Hold on to that ball, limit your turnovers, and you can win the game.
I'm with you on that, Mac. We'll see. Big if, as we said, for Georgia Tech.
That's right.
The next game in our Big 3, Boston College at Virginia. This is a 3:30 game on ESPN3. Virginia is a 6.5-point favorite. These lines are interesting to me this week, Eric McClain. BC, with the win, would finish the year 7-4, which is just so much better than I don't think any of us thought that Jeff Hafley could do in his first year. Virginia needs it to go over 500 overall. And then, of course, they have Virginia Tech next week. So really needs it for momentum heading into Virginia Tech, I think. We know there's been some serious injuries for Virginia with Charles Snowden out. And then with Dracovic, I mean, we don't know if he's playing. So there's a ton of unknowns in this game.
There really are. And I've even heard some whispers about David Bailey for Boston College not playing. So you're talking about your entire backfield, you know, not being available. So for Boston College, it's how much of a difference does Phil Dracovic make for your team? I think it's significant, but in that same breath, last week, Grossell comes in and leads his team to victory, has a couple of huge runs, 2 touchdown strikes, and rallies to beat Louisville. So it's kind of like, man, is he good enough? You know, because we saw last year in that run-heavy offense, play action, throw to the tight end only, he wasn't successful. I mean, he was like at 47% completion rating. Now that it's this pro spread and they're, you know, throwing the ball all around, will he be more successful, and will he be a guy that can step up? Because, I mean, this offense, this team, they love him. And the staff, I mean, you see what this guy has done. He was buried at the depth chart 2 years ago, like 9th. I don't know how you have 9 quarterbacks on your roster, but they did. And he was 9th. Now he's, you know, started last year and, you know, now number 2 to this, you know, NFL prospect. So they respect him. They love him. Can he come in and do the thing? I'm not sure. This Virginia team, Kelly, they're hot. And offensively, obviously having Brennan Armstrong back is huge for Virginia. Just what he can do for your team, a lot like Bryce Perkins a year ago, just more of that, you know, big Mack truck instead of a quick little Ferrari there with how he plays. But Virginia has just continued to come together as a team, development-wise, getting better and better. So that's why I think the line is the way it is, that they're just expecting Virginia to keep getting better. Now, you mentioned Charles Snowden. He's out. That's a huge void, as you know, physically. I mean, that's a big dude. Leadership-wise, his skill set overall, that's now missing. You know, but can you rally around this? Can you put a couple of performances together now on defense and make it happen? It's going to be interesting. This, to me, is the hardest game of the weekend to pick.
I agree. And when you look at Boston College, if this was a normal year, assuming they would have had another cupcake game in there, right? They would have, and if they win this game, we're talking an 8-4 finish with a chance to win a bowl game and win 9 games. So even though we're playing less games this year, I think we kind of have to look at it that way and try to change the numbers if it would have been a normal year. That's the kind of year BC has had, of course, if they win this game, that's the year they would have had. But I just think it's something to emphasize with BC when you kind of have to raise the numbers a bit.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. The success that we've seen very early from them. We talked to, you know, Matt Hasselbeck a couple of weeks ago, and he said, look, it's not like they had to come in and totally redo everything. It wasn't right. A bad program, but it just couldn't get to that next step. Now, this is a great first start, first season, but this seven game, that was the peak. That was the only place that this Boston College program could go. Now that you've set that as the bar, you've got to shatter it. These next 2-3 years, you've got to blow past it. And I think they can. I mean, Kelly, recruiting-wise, those guys are ranked 26 in the country right now. The lowest they had been since like 2005 was 60. So they are well below that right now and doing a really good job on the recruiting trail. Excited to see where Boston College is going to go in the next couple of years.
That's huge. Okay, well, they're the underdog in this game at Virginia. So fill in the blank Friday, Boston College can beat Virginia if.
You know, this one's a little bit more difficult because, again, you have to look at who's playing. There's so many different factors that come into this one. But Boston College can win the game if Max Richardson and Isaiah McDuffie, their two great linebackers, can contain Armstrong. He's a guy that's going to move around a lot. He likes to extend plays. He likes to run the ball when it's inconvenient for your defense. If you can keep him kind of locked in, like kind of a spy, but not taken away from coverage, then you have a very good chance to win this football game.
Excellent stuff there, Mac. That was our Sunshine Beverages Big Three breakdown. And we mentioned Sunshine on Monday. Guys, we're so excited to have them as a partner. They are feel good energy drinks and energy waters. And we love them. We swear by them. And this is kind of crazy, guys, because I've been really into them. But the other day I was working from home and my husband came down at about 2:30. He had that 2:30 feeling. You know, he was just tired. He'd been working all day. And I said, Nick, try a Sunshine. And he's like, all right. So he tried the blueberry lemonade. He's obsessed now.
Great
he is
flavor.
Obsessed.
Great
he loves
first flavor.
That. Oh, he loves there's only 15 grams of sugar. He loves that you get your electrolytes and your vitamin B and so many other vitamins and stuff that you need. He loves that it's 70 milligrams of caffeine. So it's not too much, but it's enough to give you a boost. And he loves the taste. So I'm excited. Nick is now in on Sunshine, but that also means we're going to have to order more.
That's right. Like Nick found out, Sunshine's the perfect pick-me-up. It sparkles with vitamins, electrolytes, and like Kelly just mentioned, only 70 milligrams of natural caffeine. Sourced from where? Organic green coffee beans, of course. And guys, look, the delicious flavors, blueberry lemonade, that's my all-time favorite. Clementine twist, also a great one. Gingerberry. Sunshine offers a balance of boost, great taste, and better for you ingredients. Be sure to visit drinkthesunshine.com. Enter Kelly and I's code ACC10 at checkout. You guys will get 10% off. Sunshine, feel good energy. You're not going to want to miss out.
Exactly right. Okay, Mac, let's get to our speed round. We've got three more games to run through, three more games that are happening in the ACC this weekend. North Carolina is playing a non-conference game.
They had, because they had to, I heard.
Yeah.
They had no choice.
They had some issues earlier in the year with scheduling and stuff, so they're getting this game made up. Western Carolina has only played two games all year. North Carolina is a 49.5 point favorite. This is a noon game on ACC Network. Mac, is this going to be a bounce back spot for North Carolina?
You know, it has to be. And Kelly, we'll be short and sweet on this one. The best thing that we can see from this game from North Carolina is high execution on offense and defense and just production. Go out, score a lot of points, get a lot of people involved. Just have a great victory here because next week you've got Miami and it's going to be a great showcase. Cannot wait to see that game. Could be, if Clemson takes care of business this weekend, that could be pretty much the battle for third place, which this year, that could be an Orange Bowl game. That could be a New Year's Six game. So it's a very important game next weekend. Carolina, just go handle business right now.
For sure. Okay, next game on our list, Syracuse at number 2 Notre Dame, 2:30 p.m. on NBC. Notre Dame's a 33.5 point favorite. Syracuse, weirdly enough, Mac, has kind of looked better recently. One thing for sure about Syracuse, they have not thrown in the towel. And I respect the heck out of that. But going to Notre Dame, I'm just not sure how much they can even score in this game to possibly even cover.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I've been very impressed with the fact, and it sounds like kind of crappy to say, but it's actually really good, guys, that Cuse has not turned it off. They haven't given up. Guys aren't packing it up. You know, there's been some superstars opt out, but the rest of the team, I mean, like with what Florida State's dealing with right now, where everybody is leaving, Cuse is not facing that, and they're giving great effort. They've got some shining spots on that defense, young guys coming back that I know it's not reflective of their record or on the scoreboard, but there should be a little bit of excitement about Cuse coming into next year. If you can go in that transfer portal and you can find a quarterback, look out.
Mackenzie Milton,
Exactly.
mark?
I tweeted that earlier. And Cuse's entire receiving corps coming back. You've got a great stable of running backs. They might be okay. So let's not jump ship on them too quickly. But it comes down to Notre Dame. These guys are the most complete team in the country. There's really, it's not even close, to be quite honest with you right now. They're 9-0. They're number two in the college football playoff rankings. Have the best offensive line, Kelly, I've seen in a couple of years, to be honest. These guys are very good. A running back that is emerging as a superstar right before our eyes. And then a quarterback that, you know, he's just taken his game to another level. We have never seen Ian Book play this good, this command, this much ownership of the offense. And quite frankly, that's what we expected to see early on. Even talking with, you know, our guy Gojo at ESPN saying, hey, look, this isn't enough. He has to take it to another level. And he's done that. And then you wrap a bow on it and give one of the most elite defenses in the country. This Notre Dame team is really good. And, you know, I think they handle business pretty easily this Saturday.
I agree. And then bye week for both Clemson and Notre Dame, possibly with an ACC championship coming up. I don't want to say that until it's for sure happening, with all respect to Miami there. Speaking of Miami, number 10 Miami at Duke. This is an 8 o'clock game on ACC Network. Miami, 15-point favorite. Mac, this is kind of a tough spot for Miami, not necessarily with Duke, but this was a team that was getting hot and then they had COVID issues. And so they've had to shut things down for a little while. They're back in action. They have to be able to get back in that groove because, like you said, they have UNC next week.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because King was playing at such a high level throwing the ball that we really haven't seen from him in his four-year career. You know, this being year five, we haven't seen him play quarterback this well and be able to connect on the deep balls, just be so in sync with his wide receivers. So my biggest question for them is where are they going to be? You know, because I think there's really two, there's not a middle ground. I think it's either going to be better or worse. And why do you say better? Because they essentially just went through a spring ball practice like some of these other teams in the middle of the season. So if they were able to practice, you know, I'm not sure if they shut it down, what their protocols were looking like. If he was able to be throwing to those guys every day, I think they're going to be more connected, more in sync. He's going to know what they do. They're going to know how he throws it. We might see Miami come out swinging. If they weren't able to practice, if these guys have gotten to different pages of this book, it could be sloppy. We could go back to the early weeks of Miami where they're struggling and maybe they go back to more of a ground game. So offensively, it's going to be interesting to see. I think that they come out handling business. But the biggest thing, Kelly, is this Miami defense. I mean, they have an opportunity this week. We might see the turnover chain 10 times. I mean, Duke is going to hand it to you. And if you have a team like Miami who takes such great pride in creating and getting turnovers, I mean, that thing, they might just leave it out. They might not put it back in the case.
Yikes. We could see the turnover chain so many times.
I can't wait. I'm so happy it's on our network. I can't wait to watch it. We're gonna know every diamond, sapphire, jewel that's in that turnover chain.
I need a full feature, full breakdown on everything I need to know about the turnover chain.
That's right. We'll get it to you. Well, guys, it was a great week. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our great sponsor, Sunshine Beverages. Our man, Richmond Weaver, for always making us sound so good. If y'all haven't already, go to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, drop a little 5-star rating, a little review. We would greatly appreciate it. But until next time, we'll see y'all.